holding on Tess Ellen Bay's Four Lines from the Bottom. We started talking about Sa'on Mishnah mentions that one of the things that Aleph Tishrei is the Rosh Hashanah for is Lenatia, when you plant a new tree, a young tree, so the years of it begin from Rosh Hashanah. And we talked about how we know Rosh Hashanah rather than Rosh Chodesh Nissan because of Gzeirah Shavah. So now we're going to talk about the dinim of this netiyah. Tana Rabbanan, Echad HaNeteyah, whether a person plants a new sapling, so he takes a neteyah usually with trees, usually means not that you take a seed and plant it in the ground, although it could be that, but that takes more time to start growing. We're usually talking about where you take an actual branch and plant it in the ground, and eventually it develops roots and develops into a new tree. That would be neteyah. The echad amavrich, or whether a person layers, which is you take a branch from a tree, you take a branch that's already attached to a tree, you bend over one end of it and bury the other end in the dirt. Eventually, again, that end develops roots, and eventually, over time, it breaks off the parent tree. It's also called cloning, and that's actually where you get in English the word cloning comes from that, because literally you get a genetic copy of the original tree that way. They prefer it when it comes to trees, because then that way you get, again, because it's a genetic copy, therefore you get the same quality of fruit. If you were to plant a seed, then not necessarily you're going to get the same kind of fruit that you did. Anyway, so that's mavrich. The echad amartiv, or whether you graft a branch from one tree onto another. So all of those, erev shvius, the person did those during the year before Shemitah. So it depends. How long before Rosh Hashanah did he do it? Shloshim yom lifnei Rosh Hashanah. If he did it at least 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, also loishana, then that counts as one whole year as far as the years of Orla. When we say that a tree is Orla for 3 years, now that you planted it at least 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, and we're going to see soon in the Gemara, we're going to talk about whether anything more than 30, what we mean by 30 days over here, but right now we're assuming it means 30 days, in other words, Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, so or the first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul, whatever. Also loishana, then it counts as a full year. Umutzu v'kaiman v'shvius, you're allowed to keep that newly planted or newly grafted or whatever tree during Shemitah. We don't count it, even though of course it's going to continue growing during Shemitah, but you planted it far enough ahead that you don't have toast for shvius. We talked about yesterday the concept of mesif and mechol al kodesh, that we have to take some of the choil time and add it to the Kodesh time. We do that with Shabbos, with Yom Tov, with Yom Kippur, and also with Shemitah. 30 days before Shavuos is already considered toast for Shavuos, and therefore, so if you planted it before that time, then fine, then no problem, you're allowed to keep it during Shemitah. Pachas mishloishin yom lifnei Rosh Hashanah, but if you did this, you planted or grafted or whatever, within 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, first of all, it doesn't count as a year of Orla. So in other words, the year is only going to begin Rosh Hashanah. And second of all, but also the Kaiman B'Shvius, and you're not allowed to keep it during Shvius because again, so Rashi says because you did it during the time of Tosfos Shvius. Now, Tosfos argues with that whole point. So you planted it within Tosfos Shvius. Why would that be a problem that you're not allowed to keep it? So Tosfos says actually what it is really, yes, there is a concept of Tosfos Shvius, but that only applies to, for example, we talked about yesterday, plowing before Shemitah, where the plowing is going to be more benefiting the soil and the plants than ever during Shemitah, not so much for things like this, like planting. I mean, after all trees grow during Shemitah. So Tosfos explains actually what it means is when we talk about whether the year counts or not, we're talking about strictly as far as Orla, as far as the Osu L'Kaimai and Mutu L'Kaimai. So what it means is that fine, we're going to say that if you planted it that close to Shemitah, it's not a matter of Tosfos Shvius, it's a matter more of Maris Ayin, that people are going to think you planted it during Shemitah itself, in particular, given that the years of Orla for this plant are going to count only from Rosh Hashanah, people are going to think, therefore, that the actual planting of it also took place after Rosh Hashanah. But not because you did it during Tosfos Shvius, per se. So we say that when there's Maris Ayin, afilu b'chadrei chadorim also. So even if you do it in private, it would be also. What? So with the Gemara saying over here, but also the kind of the shvius, you're not allowed to keep it. So it would mean, that. But Tosfos just discusses over here that in other words, if there's any kind of issur involved, then you can't keep it. But for example, this whole matter of Tosfos shvius, to a certain extent, it only applies when the Beis Mikdash is standing. We're going to learn about in Masechta Moed Katan in a couple of months, Be'ez Hashem, that not all of Tosfos Shvius applies nowadays. There were certain aspects of it that applied only Bizman Shebeis Mikdash Kayam. So that would affect this also. Continues the Braisa, Operas Natiazu. Now the fruit of this Natia, of this planting that you planted Asurin Ad Tesvav B'Shvat, they are also until the 15th of Shvat, Im La'Orla La'Orla V'Im L'Ravai L'Ravai, respectively as far as the years of Orla and the years of Ravai. In other words, Rashi explains like this. So we're saying, let's say you planted it more than 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, that first year counts as a year. Now what happens is, though, let's say you planted it more than 30 days before Rosh Hashanah of Tavshin Pei, let's say. So now you have Rosh Hashanah Tavshin Pei begins its second year. Rosh Hashanah Tavshin Pei Aleph begins its third year. Rosh Hashanah Pei Beis begins its fourth year. So you should say, well, good, now it's ready Neter Avai. No, we still say until Chamisha Aser B'Shvat of Tavshin Pei Beis, it's still Aser as Orla. So in other words, that third year extends throughout. So the first whole year again was the remainder of Tavshin Ayin Tes. The second year was the entire Tavshin Pei. The third year is the entire Pei Aleph. Now that third year though doesn't just end at Rosh Hashanah Pei Beis; it extends until Chamisha Aser B'Shvat. And then for the entire year after that, from then until the next Chamisha Aser B'Shvat is Neter Avai. Why is that? So first of all, the idea is, because we said in the Mishnah that Rosh Hashanah is that Aleph Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah L'Netziah for a young plant, but you also have, it said in the Mishnah, Chamisha Aser B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah L'Ilan. So an Ilan already is a mature tree. Once it's reached 3 years already, then it's a mature tree. So therefore, its Rosh Hashanah has to change. So the vote would be, in other words, that you do gain by the fact that actually explained the fact that you planted it long enough before Rosh Hashanah allows you to consider the end of it, in our example, the end of Tavshin Ayin Tes as the first year. If you had planted it closer than that to Rosh Hashanah, then it would be also not for an entire more year. Rashi learns, and the Rambam also learns, that what happens is when we say it's also to Chamisha Aser B'Shvat is strictly if it was planted between Chamisha Aser B'Shvat and 30 days, or actually we're going to say soon in the Gemara, 6 weeks or so before Rosh Hashanah. So if it was planted during that time, then you have to wait till Chamisha Aser B'Shvat. One idea is also, since we're being mekel at the beginning and counting the 30 days as an entire year, therefore we're machmer at the end and say you have to wait a little extra. Mashenken, according to Rashi, if let's say you had planted it, let's say you planted it the day after Rosh Hashanah, then what would happen is, then the third year would in fact be over on Rosh Hashanah. So you're losing out several months, because like this, for example, you plant it, for example, in Tavshin Ayin Tes, and already it becomes mutter, then Orla no longer applies after Chamisha Aser B'Shvat Tavshin Pei Beis, so you're only having to wait about 2.5 years. Mashenken, if you planted it after Rosh Hashanah, you would have to wait 3 entire years. So you are gaining here by considering the first one to be an entire year. However, you still have to wait then a few months until Chamisha Aser B'Shvat. But Rashi learns, if you planted it after Rosh Hashanah or any time between there and Chamisha Aser B'Shvat, then you would say you have to go till the Rosh Hashanah of the next year. So you planted it after Rosh Hashanah, Tavshin Pei. So then you can have the 3 years are going to be Tavshin Pei, Pei Aleph, Pei Beis, and only Rosh Hashanah Pei Gimel are you going to be allowed to eat the fruit. The Rambam learns similarly, although the Rambam learns that there's also a distinction. He says that there are certain cases, I think he says actually between Rosh Hashanah and Chamisha Aser B'Shvat, where you count miyoyim liyoyim. Instead of counting to Rosh Hashanah or to Chamisha Aser B'Shvat, the Rambam says there are cases where you count miyoyim liyoyim, from day to day. I think actually that case is where you planted it within 30 days. That's what it is. When you planted it within 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, then the Rambam would say you do that. So you planted it, let's say, the 15th of Elul, then the 15th of Elul, 3 years later, then the Orla is going to be over for it. I think so. I would have to look again. Anyway, now there's a whole different understanding that a number of Rishonim have. The Taz mentions the Ran, but in fact there are half a dozen other Rishonim that also hold this way, that no, we always say it's also to Chamisha Asa B'Shvat. They say the only reason why we're going to say Pa'omim, the Gemara is going to say soon, is because usually you don't usually plant between Rosh Hashanah and Chamisha Asa B'Shvat. But if you did, then nevertheless you would still have to wait until then, always, they say. And Shulchan Aruch, it brings both Deis, it brings the Rashi's and then the Rambam's Shita as the primary one, and then it brings this Deya of the Ran and the other Rishonim as Yeshayim. Anyway, so the Gemara says, no, honey. Yeah. Practically, yeah.
Practically, a fruit is destroyed after a few weeks. What are you talking about? 3 months, 3 years?
What we're talking about is if this tree produces fruit. So let's say, for example, in the scenario that, let's go according to Rashi over here. You planted the tree, let's say, more than 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. Now we're saying, comes Rosh Hashanah of Tavshin Pei days, we're saying the fruit is still Orla. Meaning, any fruit that grows on that tree up to Chamisha Asur B'Shvat of Tavshin Pei days is going to be Orla. You're going to have to destroy it. Any fruit that grows during the year after that, from Chamisha Asur B'Shvat of Tavshin Pei days until Chamisha Asur B'Shvat Pei Gimel, is going to be Netzer Revat. You're going to have the rules that you have to take it to your shalayim, etc. And then after that, and it grows after Chamisha Asur B'Shvat, so you pay Gimel, you're home free and you can do whatever, it's cholin and you can do whatever you want with it. We're not talking about, once a fruit grows as Orla, it remains Asur. There's no such thing as you keep the fruit, and then once the years of Orla are over, that same fruit becomes Mutter. Any fruit that grew during those years of Orla remains Asur forever. They have an interesting question, by the way, as far as there's a certain kind of fruit that's either papaya or mango, I forget which, where it only produces fruit during its first couple of years after you plant it. If you have a real problem, then does that mean that all of them are Orla and you wouldn't be able to eat it? The part of the question then becomes, do you actually consider it a tree, la halacha, or do you consider it a vine or something? And if you do, then you have a heter for it. So, yeah. So, anyway, getting back to the Gemara. Yeah. Yeah.
When can you define the fruit practically? I mean, it starts first with the flower and then it starts.
Right, but
when do you consider it as a fruit?
Generally speaking, in halacha, we consider that something becomes a fruit once it reaches the stage called chanota. We're gonna talk about it in the next few blocks. That's Hashem. Chanota is once it's recognizable as a fruit. And then sometimes you also have shlish gidulai, sometimes you talk about when it's reached one third of its mature size. But no, as far as the definition, whether a plant is considered a tree or a bush or a vine or whatever in halacha, that depends on other factors. In the case of Hilchos Brachos, for example, you have the din is, if the tree itself, the stem and the branches and whatever last from year to year, then it's considered a tree, otherwise not. Regardless of whether it produces fruits or not, right? So, for example, this is one reason. This is why bananas are hadama, because the actual trunk itself doesn't stay from year to year. It's not made out of wood anyway. It's basically made out of banana leaves wrapped tightly together, but it doesn't last from year to year. The above ground plant part of the plant dies off, and a new one grows from an underground root. Then you have different kinds, so that's the thing. You have different kinds of corner cases over there where, for example, the trunk remains but the branches fall off, or different kinds of other things like that. And that's what I'm saying. You have certain kinds of ones where you have spekus about whether they're ha'etz or ha'adamah. And that also affects the question of whether Orla applies to them. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. So menohanimili. So where do we know this from? That we say that sometimes where we say that the years of Orla and of Revai can extend all the way to Chamisha Asur B'Shvat. So Amar Rav Chiya Ba'aba Amar Rav Yechanan Umotu Ba Mishmei de Rav Yanai, or some want to say that it was in the name of Rav Yanai. Usually in the Gemara you have the Ikka D'Amri Amar Rav Yanai, which would just mean that you have some say one and some say the other. Umotu Ba means more like they were inclined to say that it's in the name of Rav Yanai. Anyway. So they say, Omakra, the Pasuk says, Uvashana Haravias, Uvashana Chamishis. The Pasuk says, the Pasuk describes how for the first 3 years the tree is erva. Then it says, Uvashana Haravias, which the Vav is Moisif al Inyan Rishon. It adds to what we had before. And then it continues, so in the fourth year it's Netzeravai, Uvashana Hamishis, and in the fifth year it's Cholon and you can do with it whatever you want. So the Vavs add something, meaning, Pa'omim Shabiravias Vadayin Asura Misham Erla. Sometimes it can happen that you're already into the fourth year and it's still also as Erla. And sometimes it can be into the fifth year, and it's still also as Revai. So that's the cases that we're talking about, where it extends until Chamisha also B'Shvat. So again, according to Rashi and the Rambam, only sometimes, depends how close to Rosh Hashanah, or when, or it depends when you planted it, before or after, or close to Rosh Hashanah. And according to the Ran, and the other, and according to the Ran, and several other Rishonim, it's always the case, and we're just using the wood Lefamim, we're just using the wood Palmim, because typically people don't plant during that time of year, and typically trees don't start growing and blossoming and producing fruit during that time of year. So the Gemara says, now, we said anyway that the key thing is whether you planted the tree more than 30 or less than 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara says, Lema deloike Reb Meir. Well, would we have to say that this Braisa does not go like Reb Meir? De'i Reb Meir, ha'ama yoyim echad Roshana, hosh Roshana. Reb Meir says that one day in a year is considered like a year. So according to Reb Meir, why should you need to have planted it 30 days or more before Rosh Hashanah? It should be enough that you planted it out of Rosh Hashanah. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Par ha'om about Torah stam, when the Torah says that you have to bring a korban and it says par, unspecified, so how old does it have to be? Ben Esrim Rabbah Chodesh, V'yem Echad Divrei Reb Meir. So Reb Meir says it means that it has to be 24 months and one day old. In other words, the point is a par is an animal in its third year. So Reb Meir is going to say once it reached one day, then it's already in the next year. And Yom Echad doesn't even have to mean one day. It's like, for example, when we say that a boy is by mitzvah, but Shloish Yisrushanah V'Yom Echad, and a girl about Shem Yisrushanah V'Yom Echad, it doesn't mean an extra day. It means on the day of their birthday, because mitzvah sayon kekolai. So the same thing over here. Reb Meir says as soon as the animal reaches its second birthday, then already, and it's already in its third year, and therefore when the Torah says that you need to bring a par as a korban, for example, the par helam dravah shal tzibur, the par yom kippurim, and so on and so forth, so they can be that age. Rav Elazar omer ben esrim rabah chodesh v'lamed yom. Rav Elazar says that you need 24 months plus an extra 30 days, which the point of that mentioning 30 days, by the way, is it means that he would say that even if it so happens that the month after the animal's birthday is a chodesh chaser, nevertheless you need 30 full days. Which is why he doesn't just say 25 months. So Tosfos explains that, in other words, according to Rav Elazar, during that 30 days, the animal would sort of be in limbo. It can't yet be called a par, but it's no longer called ben bakar either. You have a similar kind of thing. Tosfos points out, you have, the Gemara mentions in some places, that you have a similar thing with sheep. Where you have a baby sheep up to a year old, a male one, is called a kevis. After 13 months old, it's called an ayil, a ram. And during the month in between, it's in limbo, it's called a palgus. And you can't bring it, as either one. If you do bring it, then as a korban, you bring with it the nesachim of an ayil. But you're not yotze, your obligation to bring a korban, because it's neither a kevis nor an ayil. So the same thing, Tosfos says, according to Reb Elazar, this animal over here, this par, that's more than 2 years old, but less than 2 years, plus 30 days, would be in the same situation. So Ben Bakar means that it needs to be, so that's the thing. Because it says par, it needs to be at least in a third year. So that's the thing. So Shahoyer Meir Omer, Kol Makam Shenema Egel Batoda Stam. When the Torah says Egel unspecified, then it means Ben Shana. Then it has to be within a year old. Ben Bakar. If the pasuk says that you have to bring a Ben Bakar as a korban, means Ben Shtayim. Then it means it has to be in its second year. Par ben Shalosh, and when it says par, and Rashi says, yeah, that even when it says par ben Bakar, the fact that it says par means it has to be at least 3 years old, meaning in its third year. Tosfos points out that there are actually several other opinions among Tanoim among that, but we're talking over here, a mayor is saying that, so therefore, sort of mayor says as soon as it reaches 2 years old, then already it's considered a par. So we see that Rav Meir says that that one day into the new year is enough. So why is it over here we're saying that you have to have planted this tree at least 30 days before Rosh Hashanah? Evidently, it's not like Rav Meir. So the one says, no, afilo tamer Rav Meir. You could even say that it's like Rav Meir. Kika omer Rav Meir, yom echad b'shanah, choshev shanah, v'soif shanah. You know when Rav Meir would say that one day counts as an entire year would be at the end of the year, which is what we're dealing with over here. So b'soif shanah means the other way around. It means when we're trying to go from one year to the next, to the last year that we need for this animal to be kosher, for example. We already have two entire years. Now we need the beginning of the third year. So fine, the soif, it's at the end of the amount of time that we need for this animal to be eligible. So then one day is enough. But when we're talking about a tree, we're talking about that you planted it X amount of time before Rosh Hashanah. So the mayor is going to agree that you need a significant amount of time in order for it to be considered a year. One day is not going to cut it. You're going to need 30 days. So the Pnei Yeshua wonders what's the comparison anyway between animals and years of a tree. When it comes to years of a tree, we're talking about calendar years. When we're talking about the years of an animal, we're talking about years based on when it was actually born. So how is it b'chlal a comparison and leaves it a tzarech even? Anyway. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rava v'lav kavachoyma hu." Rava says, "Isn't it a kavachoyma though that we should allow it?" Uma nida. Let's look at the case of a nida. She'ein tchila sayoyim oyla la b'sofa. The beginning of the day doesn't count at the end. What happens, in other words, a nida? We're talking about a daraisa level. We're not talking about with the various chumras of the Takana of Rebbe and the Chumrah of Bnos Yisrael and so on and so forth. We're talking strictly the original Din D'Oraisa. The original Din D'Oraisa is a woman becomes Nida. She has to wait till the end of the seventh day, and then that night she can go to the mikveh. We say even if she's bleeding throughout that entire 7 days, as long as it ends before Shkia, then she can go to the mikveh that night. So what happens though? We don't say that the beginning of the seventh day counts as an entire day. We don't say tchila sayyim ola la b'sofa. So we don't say, in other words, once it comes the morning of the seventh, good, this is already her seventh day, let her go to the mikveh. Imagine, for example, let's say she bled only one day or two. So the rest of the days have been clean days anyway. So you might have thought to say, okay, well, the morning of the seventh, mikveh sayyim kukulay, let her go to the mikveh the morning of the seventh. We know she can't do that. She has to wait till the end of the day and then go at night. Yet the end of the day counts for her as a day at the beginning. Namely, what happens if her re'iyah was shortly before Shkia? That day is already going to count as the first of her 7 days. So she had the re'iyah on Sunday, a few minutes before Shkia. Nevertheless, that counts as an entire first day. And then we say, fine, so her seventh day is Shabbos, and she goes to the mikvah, Matzah Shabbos. So we see that works. Rashi also mentions, by the way, that some people misunderstood all Gemara over here when it says over here, Sofayim Ola Lo B'Tchilasa. They thought it meant that the day when we're talking about the way we do Nida nowadays, where on the day that she needs Shiva Nekiyim, and that the day that she stops bleeding can count as the first of the Shiva Nekiyim. Rashi says that's not so. We've learned in the Gemara in Nida that the Kusim thought that way, but that's obviously not the halacha. Nowadays, anyway, we have to wait a few days. We wait 5 days generally after the bleeding has stopped before even doing a hefsetara because of various considerations involving peletas shichvas zera, and that can cause her to lose days, and we don't want to confuse that whole issue. Anyway, but
you're pointing out before that the question thought that
No, there are cases where you need Shiva Nekiyim, obviously. You need Shiva, and Zava in particular needs Shiva Nekiyim, right.
But the mistake of the Kusim was that we need seven Shiva Nekiyim, and therefore it would be...
Their mistake was that they thought that the day on which she stops bleeding counts as the first of the Shiva Nekiyim. In other words, they would say that, let's say a woman became a Zava, So let's say, for example, so we're talking, let's say, a Zavag Dola, or we're talking, or nowadays where we consider all women when they bleed to be a Zavag Dola anyway. But let's talk according to the original Din Torah. So let's say, for example, according to the Kusin, if a woman became a Zavag Dola, she had bleeding on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, they would say Tuesday, as long as it ended sometime before Shkia, then that counts as the first of the Shiva Nikiyim, and then she needs. So, okay, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, and she can go to the Mikvah Monday. And that's wrong. The Shiva Nikiyim only begin the next day, Wednesday. Which is, by the way, why we have the whole concept of a hefsetara, where she has to make sure before Shkia that that it actually stopped. Otherwise, if she only does that after Tzeis, then that day, or after Shkia because of the suffix, then that day is not going to be able to count as the first of the Shiva Nikiyim. Anyway, so Rashi explains over here again that the Seif Hayom Ola Lovet Chilasa does not mean as far as in days that are Nikiyim, but rather as far as the beginning of the flow, as long as it took place sometime before Shkia, then that day counts as the first of the 7 days. On the Daraisa level, that is, where Nida only needs 7 days from when she began bleeding before she can go to the mikveh. Anyway, so we see that by a Nida, we don't count a bit of the day at the end, but we do count a bit of the day at the beginning. So then, Rava says, Shana Shiyim Echad Olal of a Seifa. So then, by a year, where we're saying that that one day counts at the end of the year, where again we're saying by the power appointed of Meir that one day should be enough to count as the whole third year of the power. Einadin Shiyim Echad Olal B'Tchilasa. Shouldn't it be a Kavachomer that one day appointed of Meir should count at the beginning as well? And you should say therefore that as long as you planted this tree at least one day before Rosh Hashanah, then you should be good. And it should count as a whole year. Why Takana? Tosfos gets into a whole long discussion over here that on the contrary, why don't we prove the opposite from a case of Zava? We have by a Zava, we do actually say that, so what is it? By a Zava, you have the other way around that, again, Minag Kusim would be that you count the day that she stopped bleeding as the first day. And Tchilas Yom Ola B'Sofa, because you have an opinion, you have over there, when it comes to a Zava, she can Tovel by day, she could technically Tovel by day, and then you have the question, what happens if she does, and later on she bleeds again. So you have Rabbi Yossi, or you have a Machlokes Rabbi Yossi, and the Chachamim over there, what happened? Practically speaking, she should only Tovel that night in order to avoid any of those potential problems, but in principle, a Zava can Tovel by day. This that we do nowadays, by the way, that women Tovel by night, is we're doing essentially the chumras of a Nida and Zava combined together. We treat her like a Nida as far as that she needs to Tovel by night, and like a Zava Gdola, that she needs Shiva Nikiyim. Anyway, so Tosfos gets into a discussion about that over here. Why don't we bring from Zava over here? Anyway, the point is that Rava is saying that at least based on a Nida, you should be able to make a Kavachomer and say therefore that one day should count at either end. So therefore, the same way as Rav Meir is saying that Yom Echad Bashana Chashav Shana, when it comes to the third year of the Pyre, the same way that should count as far as the first year of the Netiyah. So the Gemara says, the Elamai Rabbi Lazar. So what are you going to say? The Braitha that we said before, that if you plant, that distinguishes between whether you plant within 30 days before Rosh Hashanah or more than 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. Then, so if you're going to say it's not like Rabbi Meir, then fine. What you're going to have to say, it's going to go like Rabbi Lazar. The problem with it, who's the Tanner who argues with Rabbi Meir? The problem with that is Shloshim or Shloshim Boy. According to him, 30 days is not enough either. You need 30 days for it to take root in the ground, because up until the point it takes root, it can't really be considered planted. It's effectively just sitting there in the ground. Only after it takes root, then you start counting, oh, you're within 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, or you're within Tosfos Shvius, according to Rashi, or can you still count it as a full year as far as Orla, according to Tosfos? So you need 60 days. So far, the Braisa that says that you need 30 wouldn't work out according to either one of them. The Tanan. Namely, we learn in a Mishnah in Shavuos, in Noitin, you're not allowed to plant a new tree, like we said, the in Mavrichin, or to bend down a twig from a tree to create a new tree. By the way, in Chassidus, in many places, it talks about when we say Baruch Ata Hashem, it means Meloshin this Mavrichin over here. You're bending down, you're asking Hashem to bend down some Hashpah, well, of course, into our world. Anyway, so the in Markivin, you can't graft a tree. Ed of Shavuos, during the year before Shemitah, Pachas Milamed Yom Lifnei Rosh Hashanah, within 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, the Im Not of the Hebrew, if you did any of those things, Yaker, then you have to uproot it, because then it's taking root during Shemitah, or as Tosfos has said, because you have a problem of Marisayin, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Kol HaKavah She'enek Keletes V'Gimul Yomim Shuvenek Keletes, Rabbi Huda, I think, actually, says, Kol HaKavah She'enek Keletes V'Gimul Yomim Shuvenek Keletes. No, if it doesn't take root in 3 days, then it's not going to take root, so you don't need 30 days. You don't need 30 days, you only need 3 days. Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon Omer Shtei Shabbosos. And Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon take a middle view. They say you need 2 weeks. Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav Avua. When we say 3 days or 30 days or 2 weeks, we don't mean exclusively that. You always need the extra 30 days. L'divra Omer Lamed Tzarech Lamed Ushloshim. The opinion, the Tanakama of the Braiser, of Eliezer, of Elazar, who says that you need 30 days, really means that you need 60 days. 30 for it to take root, and 30 for that to be before the year, before Rosh Hashanah begins. The Divra Omer Shlosha, and according to the opinion that you need to be, Tzarech Shlosha Shlosha, and then you need 33. 3 and then another 30. The Divra, so in other words, always the Klita has to be before, has to be more than 30 days before Rosh Hashanah.
It seems that they couldn't point that out originally. It doesn't mean that 30 is the first day, the root is 30 completely made way, because otherwise it doesn't
conclude. No, because the Gemara is going to say in a second that actually that at least on the day, on that morning, we can say that it already took root. Again, Mikseyim Kekole. Nobody has a problem with Mikta Seyim Kekule. We're having a problem with saying that a year, that 1 day should count as a year. So no, originally we thought that when we talked about planting 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, we thought it meant strictly 30 days. Now we're discovering there's no Tana who says only 30 days. Everybody says, at least the minimum anybody says, is 33 days. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that it takes 3 days, then you need 3 days plus the 30 days. And according to Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon, that you need 2 weeks, and you need 2 weeks plus 30 days. By the way, that one is the one that's accepted, lahalacha, so therefore in Shulchan Aruch, in those dinim, it mentions that as long as you planted the tree before Tes Zayin Av, which is 44 days before Rosh Hashanah, 2 weeks plus 30 days, then you have yourself your first year of Orla, and then like you said before, then you only have to wait until Chamisha Asa B'Shvat of the third year, rather than having to wait until Rosh Hashanah of the fourth year. If you're going to say that the Braisa previously goes according to the Meir, then it doesn't seem to work, because why, if your mayor holds that 1 day in a year is considered a whole year by a parrot, and he should hold based on Rava's Kavachomer that the same thing should be true with a tree. According to Rabbi Lazar, you'd need 60 days. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you'd need 33 days. According to Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon, you'd need 44 days. So who would that original Braisa that we quoted at the beginning of the Sogya be like? So the Inami Kirab Yehuda, Sirle, Gimel Shloshim Bari. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you'd need 33. So who is it that would say that you'd need 30? So the answer is la'olam Reb Meir. So rather, the answer is, in fact, that original Braisa is according to the Meir. B'chikam alamed l'klita. You know what? You're right. When he says that you need 30 days, he means, in other words, he holds light is a. So he holds that you only need he says that you need 30 days for klita, like Rabbi Lazar is saying. However, he's saying yoimach b'shana choshev shana. So therefore, fine. As long as it was niflat, as long as it took root, even on the day before Rosh Hashanah, then fine, because yoimach b'shana choshev shana. So the question is, Yehachi Laman Aleph Boy. Well, in that case, even according to the mayor, wouldn't you need 31 days? 1 day for Plita and 30 days for it to be considered, enough time into the new year? And the answer is, Kasava, Yen Laman, Ola Lakan, Ola Lakan. Fine, but he's going to hold the 30th day counts double. It can be the day on which the Plita takes place. So let's say the Plita takes place in the morning, that it takes root. And the rest of that day is available to be the Yom Echad Vashana, which is Choshev Shana.
Right, but you count the night before.
We do, but sometimes we say, again, the same way as we said by Anidya, that sometimes a part of a day is enough to be considered, like an entire day, so that's what we're doing over here. So the mayor is going to say, in other words, as long as you planted this plant or this sapling or whatever 30 days or more before Rosh Hashanah, fine, you have 30 days for it to take root. It takes root even if it finally only takes root on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Good. There's your Yom Echad. And that can be considered a year. Because we're saying that it takes root in the morning, let's say. We don't have to assume. Well, we don't know, but we can assume. We can assume. As long as we know that it took root sometime before Shkia, and we know that it does because it takes maximum 30 days for it to take root.
Okay. So then you have to leave a minute before Shkia.
So you have to leave at least a minute before Shkia, yeah, and that'll count. Yeah. Same principle as a woman becomes Nidya a minute before Shkia, that day will still count as her first day.
So we are saying that 30 days is the eighth day.
So we're saying that 30 days is, well, so from when you planted it, no, it doesn't have to be Mesles. You could have...
From when you planted it, it has to be a certain cycle of 24 hours.
No, not necessarily, no, because we're saying, for example, so you planted it on the you planted it on the 30th day before Rosh Hashanah. So, fine. So we're saying, let's say, okay, I see what you're saying. Okay, so in the case of when we say according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon that you need 2 weeks. So in Shulchan Aruch it mentions that you planted it before Tes Zayin Av. So Tes Zayin Av until you from then until up to and including Erev Rosh Hashanah, you have 44 days. Fine. So we're saying, in other words, that you need 44 calendar days. Fine. So the mayor is going to say, by the same token, you need 30 full calendar days, but you don't need an extra one. You have, once you have 30 full calendar days, so you have Lamed Av, so fine. As long as you planted it before Lamed Av, then fine. From Lamed Av through Chavtes Elul is the 30 days that it's taking root. And that, the remainder of that day of Chavtes Elul is the Yom Echad Bashana Chosh Hashanah. And therefore you're good. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amar Yechanan, Ushnein Mikra Echad Dosh. Now, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lazar, who are arguing on the point whether you need one, which we had on Amud Aleph, the machlokas of theirs, as far as a par, whether you need 1 day in a year to be counted as a year, or whether you need 30 days, they're both darshaning based on the same pasuk. Pasuk describes, towards the end of the Mabul, Vayhi ba'achas v'sheish me'es shana, in the 601st year, so the Mabul began during Noach's 600th year, on the 17th of Chodesh Hasheni, which we're gonna talk, later on, whether Chodesh Hasheni means Cheshvan or Iyar. Anyway, so the Mabul began then. Then it continued for just over a year and 10 days from Yud Zayin of that month until Chav Zayin of that month the following year. So Vayehi ba'achas v'sheish me'eschana in the 601st year. So this is almost 11 months after the Mabul had begun. Barishin ve'echa b'chodesh in the first month on the first day. And so the point is, it's only 1 day in the year, and already it's calling it the 601st year. So the Meir Sava, Mida Kati Yom Echad, Uda Ayel Bashana, you're only 1 day into the new year, not even a full day, because it's on that day, the Kokori Le Shana, the Kokori Le Shana, and the Pasuk is already calling it Shana, it's the 601st Shana, Shema Mina Yom Echad Bashana, Chashav Shana. Therefore you see that 1 day into the year can already be considered a year. The Idach, what does Rabbi Lazar answer to that? He says, fine, Iksiv, the Sheish Meis Ba'achas Shana, fine, if the Pasuk had said in the 601 year, then yeah, Kidika Amrith, then it would be correct, like you're saying, that the Pasuk is saying that this day already counts as the 601st year. Hashid, Iksiv Ba'achas, the Sheish Meis Shana, but since it puts the Achas before the Sheish Meis, what it means is Shana Ashesh Meis Koi. It means the word Shana essentially refers to the 600. Because you have the word Shana, because you have the Achas very far away from the word Shana. Therefore, what it means is, my Achas has scouted the Achas Kama. It means fine. Of course, Rabbi Lazar says, I agree this is going to be considered the beginning of the 601st year, but it should be considered an entire year, that not. If it had said, B'sheish me'es v'achas Shana, yeah, you would say that 1 day is considered the entire year. So he says you can't say based on that one pasuk, that 1 day should be considered an entire year. Then, what is it? The Rabbi Lazar my timer. So where does Rabbi Lazar get his shit from? So dichtiv barishin ve'echad b'chodesh, because that same pasuk says in the first month on the first day. So midakati yom echad hu da'ayel b'chodesh. Again, it's only the first day of the month. Because Kori like Chodesh, and it's calling it Chodesh, it's calling it the Echad Bachodesh, Shema Mina Yom Echad Bachodesh, Choshev Chodesh. Therefore, you see that when it comes to figuring a month, 1 day in the month is enough to be considered an entire month. And once you have that, he says, Umi the Yom Echad Bachodesh, Choshev Chodesh, Once we're going to say that one day into the year is considered a chodesh, one day into a month is going to be considered a month, then we can say lamed yom bashana hashogen shana. Then we can extend that idea to say that 30 days into a year are considered a year, because the logic is v'chodesh l'menuya v'shana l'menuya. Because the logic is that both a month is composed of units of days, as the Gemara mentions elsewhere. I think we're going to have it later in this parak. That yomim at machashiv l'chadoshim v'at machashiv chadoshim v'at machashiv shoyz. You don't say that a month can consist of 29.5. Or 29, however many number of hours. It has to be a whole number of days. So the units that a month is made up of are days. The units that a year is made up of are months. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar is going to say, if we're learning that one unit into the month, one day can be considered a month, then by the same logic, one unit of a year would be what you need for it to be considered a year, namely 30 days. So that's how they both learn their respective shittas. So we do say, for certain purposes, we do say yom echad v'shana choshev shana. For example, when it comes to the par, we do say that as soon as it's one day into its new year, then already it's considered a par. When it comes to the tree over here, we say you need time for klita, so therefore you need 2 weeks plus you need 30 days. There are actually certain cases also in halacha where we say that 30 days is needed for it to be considered a new year. The Rambam writes, for example, when it comes to, you have a man or a woman, or a boy or a girl or whatever, who never developed signs of maturity, they never developed shtei sairus, once they reach 19 years and 30 days, then if they still haven't developed them and they've developed the simonim of a swiss or an ilonis, then they're considered an adult halacha. So there you have an example, we need 30 days. A side point from this, by the way, is where the Gemara is now going to discuss the question, when was the world created, in Tishrei or in Nisan? Either way, when we count our calendar, I mentioned this the other day, we count from Molad Baharad, which is an imaginary Molad. In fact, we call it Molad Tohu. The Molad of Tishrei, if we say that Adam was created on Aleph Tishrei, rather than Aleph Nisan, if we say that the world began to be created, Chafei Elul, when Adam was created on Aleph Tishrei, the Molad of that Tishrei was Vav Yud Dalet, V'yad, it's called, Friday 14 Chalokim. But we count from a year, we count our years from a year before that. It means, in other words, when we say that this year is Tokshin Pei Beis, it's not the 5782nd year since Adam was created, it's really only the 5781st year, because we count from a year before. Why do we do that? Because of this idea of Yom Echad Bashana, Chosh of Shana. We have those days from Chof Hei Elul, from Chof Hei to Chof Tes Elul, or as we're going to say now, according to the Yeshua, you have even more from Chof Hei Adar all the way until Chof Tes Elul. We don't want to just call those year zero. We want to assign those to a year. Therefore, we start from Rosh Chodesh Tishrei of the imaginary Rosh Chodesh Tishrei of the year before and start counting our years from there. So in other words, it comes out that Adam and Chava were created on Rosh Hashanah of the beginning of year two rather than year one. In the times of the Goyim, actually, they used to have, there were different minhagim in different places how to count. There were, in Bavel in general, they counted from a year later, and in Eretz Yisrael, they counted the way that we do. Anyway. So the Gemara says, Miklal the Tavayu Svirlahu V'nissin Nivra Olam. Now, we do see that Rav Meir and Rav Elazar, after all, they're both agreeing that the beginning of the year of the Mabul counts as the beginning of a new year, of the 601st year. They're just arguing how far into the year do you have to be for it to be counting a year. So therefore, it means that they both agree that the Nisan, Nivra Olam, that the world was created in Nisan, and therefore that the Mabul began in Iyar. Now, Rashi said, now this is in parenthesis, because Rashi says, maybe we shouldn't be Gerdesit. Why? Who says that Chodesh Rishon in this context means Nisan? Maybe it means Tishrei. Before Matan Torah, before Yetzias Mitzrayim, the months were counted from Tishrei. So Rashi takes out this part in parenthesis. On the other hand, Tosfos says that maybe we could be Gerdesit. What it means is, if we didn't hold that Nisan Nivra Olam, we might have figured that Vachodesh Arishin indeed means Nisan. It might mean, in other words, that the Mabul began in Cheshvan and ended in Iyar of a year and a half later. So the Mabul, instead, we always figure that the Mabul lasted a year and 10 days. Maybe, in fact, it lasted a year and a half plus 10 days. The fact that if we say that both of them agree, the Nisan Nivra Olam, then we're back to that the Mabul was only a year and 10 days. So then this connection, the Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, the Tishrei Nivra Olam, the world was created in Tishrei, meaning really the beginning of Elul. Whenever we talk about Nivra Olam, we mean really the creation of Adam and Chava. There's innumerable Maimorim where it talks about the idea of why we use that expression, and we use the expression in davening, Zehayim Tchilas Masecha, because the whole purpose of Briyas Olam was that there should be people that can make a Jidah with Atonim, etc., etc. The Tishrei Nivra Olam, the Tishrei Noldu Obis, and later on we'll learn tomorrow about the Shem where Rabbi Eliezer learns all this from. The Tishrei Noldu Obis, the Obis were born in Chodesh Tishrei. The Tishrei Mesu Obis, they passed away in Tishrei also, because Tzadikim Hashem fills up their years from day to day. The Pesach Noldu Yitzchak. On the other hand, Yitzchak is an exception among the Obis. He was born Pesach, which we'll discuss tomorrow at some length, Bez Hashem, where we get that idea from. And not everybody agrees to that either, but anyway. And Rosh Hashanah, Sarah, Rochel, and Chana, who were all childless for many years, were remembered by Hashem, that Hashem decided on that day that Bozichronim L'Toyva, and Eivishti decided that year they're going to become pregnant and have a baby. So it doesn't mean they became pregnant on Rosh Hashanah, it means that the Eivishti decided on Rosh Hashanah, this is going to happen during the coming year. Rosh Hashanah Yotze Yosef Beis Asurim. Rosh Hashanah is also when Yosef got out of jail. Rosh Hashanah Botla Avoda Mavisenim Mitzrayim. And Rosh Hashanah is when our ancestors in Mitzrayim had to stop, were able to stop working. So Tosfos explains, the Makkos began in Nisan. However, they didn't stop them doing the work. They didn't allow them to stop doing the work until Tishrei. In other places, it explains the reason is because Makkos Kinim took place in Tishrei. Based on various sources, it seems that there was a break in the Makkos. You have the Makkos began in Nisan, but then you have Kinim is only the third Makkah, and each Makkah lasts only a month, and Kinim is not till Tishrei. So there was evidently a break between Dom and Svardeya, or between Svardeya and Kinim. But Kinim took place beginning in Tishrei. So once all the dirt turned into lice, they can't have them building bricks anymore, because when are you going to build? You can't build bricks out of that. So therefore, Botla Avoda, and once it stopped, they didn't force them to restart even after Makkos Kinim was over. Then after that, the other Makkos continued to stay there through the months until you have Makkos Choshech was in Adar or Uli Nissen, and then Makkos Bechoros is Tesvav Nissen. Next, the Nissen Nigalu, Rabbi Eliezer continues, the original Geula from Mitzrayim was in Nissen, but the Tishrei, as stated in the Gaul, the Geula HaMitzvah Shlema from our Golos is going to be in Tishrei. Rabbi Yeshua, on the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua says, no, he disagrees on most of these things. The Nisan Nivra Olam, the world was created not in Tishrei, but in Nisan. The Nisan Nodu Ovis, the Nisan Mesu Ovis, the Ovis were born and passed away in Nisan. But Pesach Nodu Yitzchak, specifically Yitzchak was born on Pesach. So according to him, Yitzchak is not an exception to the other Ovis. They were all born during Nisan. Yitzchak was specifically on Pesach, and the other ones were some other time during Nisan. But Rosh Hashanah Nikud Asara Rochel Chana, he agrees that on Rosh Hashanah Asara Rochel and Chana were all remembered by Hashem. But Rosh Hashanah Yotze Yosef Beis Asurim, he also agrees that Yosef got out of jail on Rosh Hashanah. But Rosh Hashanah Botla Avodim Avasenim Mitzrayim, he agrees with that point also. The Nissan Nigalu, the Nissan Asidim Nigal, and he says the original Geula and the Geula Hamitis Vashlem and the Yad Mamish are going to be in Nissan. There's many Maimonides Chassidus where it talks about the deeper idea behind that. Now, actually, first of all, Tosfos points out later in the Masechta that as far as Briyas HaOlam, at least, there's not necessarily an argument between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Because you can consider when Olav HaMachshava, when Hashem thought, Kaviyachol, of creating the world, versus when he actually created it. So we can say that thought was in Nisan, the actual Briyas HaOlam was in Tishrei. And in fact, we say, the Gemara is going to mention later on that we say, Zehayim Tchilas Masecha, according to Rabbi Yeshua, how can you say that? The answer is, even Rabbi Yeshua would agree that the actual Bria B'Poyel was in Tishrei. So you ask him, what does that mean? Hashem thinks versus he speaks. Hashem's not a human being. So the idea is, when we talk about Hashem thinking something, means Hashem creating the potential for something. Then you have how it comes out Ma'aseh B'Poyel in the world that we see. So it means, in other words, Hashem's machshava to create the world in Nisan meant that Hashem had a machshava that the world in particular should function on Isarusa de la Ela. That you're going to have that the word Nisan is the time of Isarusa de la Ela. That we have Yetzias Mitzrayim, for example, which is completely initiated by Hashem without us deserving it at all. And therefore that Hashem planned for the world to work that way. Then Hashem put the potential into the world for there to be that. In the end, Hashem created the world in a way that depends on our avodah, which is the concept of Tishrei. Similarly, also in Maamar Chassidus, it talks about when Rabbi Yeshua and when Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are arguing about the Nisan or the Tishrei Asid in Ligoil, so it fits together with for example, there's a Maamar where the Rebbe quotes from the Tzemach Tzedek that it fits with their respective Shittas. We find in the Gemara Sanhedrin where Rabbi Eliezer says, if the Jewish people do Tshuva, then Nigolin, and Chas V'Shalom, if not, then not. And Rabbi Yeshua says, regardless, the Eved Shittah is taking us out of Golos no matter what, and then the Eved Shittah is going to force the issue with Tshuva, so therefore that reflects over here. Rabbi Eliezer is saying the Tishrei Asid in Ligoil. In other words, the Geula has to be a Tishrei kind of Avodah. It depends on our Ma'aseinu V'Avodah Seinu. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer says, no, it's a Nissan kind of thing where it doesn't depend on us taking the first step. It can be like the original Geula where the Eved took the first step. And then the Rebbe goes on to talk about that even according to Rabbi Yeshua, we're still saying there is a certain Tishrei aspect there also. After all, Rabbi Yeshua does agree that it requires us in the end to do tshuva. He's just saying that the Eibishter is going to force the issue. But you have the fact that he says that the Eibishter forces it, that the Eibishter gives us the Nisinas Koyach in the first place. The do tshuva can be related to Nisin more so than the Tishrei.
Yeah.
Okay. So like this. If we say, so let's go back to those parentheses, yeah, at the bottom of Yudom and Beis. If we have the parentheses, Mikral the Tavayos Svirlhub and Nisan Nivra Olam, it's like this. We're saying that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Eliezer are arguing whether Yoimach HaBashana Choshev Shana or whether you need 30 full days. Either way, though, the Pasuk is referring to Barishon in the first month, the Echad LaChodesh. The Pashas, the first month, means Nisan. So it would have to mean that they both agree, Benissin Nivra Olam, and therefore that the year of the Mabul is counted from year. Because otherwise, if either one of them held the Tishrei Nivra Olam, what would be the proof? Fine, Barushin Ve'echa B'chodesh. By that time, you're 6 months into the year. So of course it counts as the 601st year. Everybody agrees that half a year is enough to be considered a year. That would force us to say that they both say Benissin Nivra Olam. But then Rashi says, maybe we're not going to say it, because what do you mean? Barishin doesn't necessarily mean the first month as in Nisan, Achodesh, Azavachem, Rosh Chodeshim. That's only after Yitzias Mitzrayim. Before that, the first month was Tishrei. So they could, one or the other of them could hold, like Rabbi Eliezer, that the Tishrei, Nivra Olam, and the Chodesh Arishin over here means Tishrei, and the Mabul began in the second month, which is Cheshvan. And then again, Tosfos says, we could be Goras it, because the Gemara could be understanding that yes, the Chodesh Arishin should mean Nisan. But if either of them held the Tishrei Nivra Olam, it would end up that the Mabul lasted a year and a half. Because it lasted from Cheshvan of 1 year until, so now you finally come after almost a year and a half of the Mabul comes Nisan of the beginning of the 601st year, and then he opens up the Teva and sees that the ground is beginning to dry, and then a month and then almost 2 months later it's dry. So it would come out that the Mabul lasted about 18 months. Therefore, that's why Tosfos says, therefore we should be Gerdus that part in the parenthesis, because that allows us to say that in fact, Chodesh tradition does mean Nisan, as it usually does in the Torah, and that in fact the Mabul lasted only 1 year rather than 18 months. So that's the part. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, analyzing Rabbi Eliezer's and Rabbi Yeshua's Shittas about when the world was created and when the Ovis were born, and so on and so forth, and we'll get into a long discussion in particular, something that's very much in Yonah D'Yoma, this week's parasha. The Malachim came to visit Abraham. When was it? When was Abraham's Mila, and when did the Malachim come to visit him? So we'll talk about that tomorrow.
The wonderful. Yeah.